So of the basement bedrock, then 80% of it is covered with these sedimentary rocks with an average depth of 5 kilometres. So if we're worried about what's going on in the soils, which are the main area of productivity for keeping humans going, then we need to know something about the chemistry of the sedimentary rocks, because they're going to dominate the mineral fraction in the soils. So on that previous plot, we saw that there were mud rocks. So these guys then will be our clay minerals, and I've only talked about two so far. We're going to talk about quite a few more. So those micas that I talked about, those, when they're broken down into the correct size range, become clay minerals. Quartz is often found in mud rocks. Now quartz, because of this network covalent structure, is extremely stable. So it's the end run of weathering of most of the aluminosilicates and the silicates, because if you break down those structures and reform the material, the most likely thing to come out that's thermodynamically stable is quartz. The carbonates then, these were our limestones. The calcite is the mineral, but limestone is the rock and the dolomite. The sandstones are dominated by quartz again. Now the difference between quartz and our clay minerals, these guys are all network covalent solids, but it's the actual bonding that holds the thing together that differentiates them. This first one then has got that tetrahedral organisation about each of the silicons, whereas in the case of the clay minerals, they're sheet silicates. Now in a subsequent lecture, which is the one I thought we were going to do now, we're going to look at the actual sheet silicate structures, and what's coming up in the test then will be questions that check out your understanding of the nature of clay minerals, and in particular the structure of those minerals. The reason why I burrow in first of all to the crust and then into the sedimentary rocks and then into the clay minerals is we're trying to focus in on the things that are important in the soil. So the key parts that are important in the soil will be the organic matter that's responsible for providing nutrients, and what would be those bits of organic matter that I'm likely to be interested in, thinking about your water chemistry. Bacteria get involved in producing these organic compounds. The humic and fulvic acids, yeah. If you think about the structure of these things, they contain carboxyl groups, phenolic groups. Those acids, remember, normally are deprotonated in water. Well, soil is full of water, soil water. So you've got those sort of groups present, and they can trap cations. So the plants are relying on nutrients, which will be typically cations, for their growth, and so the organic matter is a major repository. The other place that's going to be a major repository are the clay minerals. Now, the kaolinite is not the best example, as we'll see. We'll get to some other ones. This one here is a bit of an end run. Here you go. This is a third year subject. Yeah.
All right,
For 10-11. You've got me puzzled. Yeah, it's okay. Pop back and see me in a little while, maybe in half an hour upstairs, and we'll clarify, because I'm puzzled. Yeah, okay, cool. the next guy is then the limestones and the dolomites. I expect that you can put down formulas for these guys as well. The kaolinite, what I was briefly sort of alluding to was the fact you don't see any cations in the structure of the kaolinite. We've got kaolinite deposits up north of here. Kaolinite is heading towards being quartz. So we're actually losing those cations from its structure. It's becoming a much more stable thing. So it's the clay that's used.